Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Grant Paulson with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Grant, what franchise is more pitiful in this century, Washington or the Browns? I mean, it's close.
Oof. I mean, you guys are the few, I would say, that kind of relate and get what we're going through here. I've always thought it was close. I would say Washington, because you guys had to start over, obviously, at one point after losing a team in the 90s. And there have also been more embarrassing off-the-field debacles here. Like, you guys probably worse on the field slightly, and it's fairly close, I would think. But you sleep on just the disastrous catastrophes and embarrassing fiascos off the field every year that seemed to befuddle this team.
You know what's funny, though, is maybe you're right, but there are probably some, like the Dan Snyder stuff recently, that's going to make national news. But there are embarrassing stories that from the Browns and from Washington that probably were big enough in those cities but didn't make national news necessarily. So, like we had all this Peyton Hillis nonsense for a while. We had Johnny Manziel and all the stuff he was doing off the field. We can battle you in some of the off the field nonsense. Jimmy Haslam
forgot about Manziel,
right? Jimmy Haslam's company got raided 2 seconds after he bought the team. I mean, you know, it's a close battle here.
Haslam and Snyder, and that's kind of where it all starts, too, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's how this conversation even exists, is that those two guys are so incompetent at running these organizations largely. But yeah, they give each other a run for their money. I'd forgotten a little bit about Manziel, and I don't get everything right, but that was one thing I was just so correct on and knew he was going to stink, so I take a lot of pride in that. I know like a homeless guy at one point told you guys to draft him, so you got to take his word for it. But yeah, I honestly, I would give the Browns the edge. If you're asking me, like, who would you rather have been a fan of over the last 20 years? Right. The other thing to remember, too, guys, is this. Bull and Fox, is that you got to remember Washington won 3 Super Bowls recently enough that it's having a delicious steak and knowing what it tastes like, right? So you've still got a collection of people that listen to us every day and call in every day that, like, we're in this really good relationship that they're still chasing. It's not a ghost to them. Like, they remember what it's supposed to look like. I don't know if that makes it better or worse, but I feel like it might make it even more painful that for close to 30 years now they've just been so bad.
It's a good question.
It is a great question. What do you think about Haskins? You know, we talked a little bit on your show the other day about our quarterback situation. What do you feel about Haskins going into the season?
Dustin, he's just incredibly inaccurate. It's really frustrating and maddening. I mean, their passing game is not going to be good this year, and that's not particularly because Dwayne Haskins is not good enough. They just don't have the players. They've got one excellent wide receiver, and you guys are well-versed in Terry McLaurin, having watched him shine at Ohio State. He's sensational. I think he's going to be the next big star at that position in the league. Right now he's in the top 5 in the NFL in yak yards after the reception on average, and he can make plays. But he's the only guy they've got. And if you take McLaurin out of the equation, I know that Denzel Ward may not play this weekend, and just watching the game back against the Bengals, I was blown away by how impressive he was on A.J. Green. That guy's a star. Yeah. But they don't have a receiver who could take advantage of him other than McLaurin. And it's Dontrell Inman at number 2, and they drafted a 4th-rounder out of a small school in Liberty, and Antonio Gandy-Golden, who they want to come on by the end of the year. So he's not throwing to wide receivers other than one guy who are going to make him look better. He's playing behind one of the worst offensive lines and more banged-up offensive lines in the league. And their tight end position is anchored by a pass-catching tight end who was a quarterback in college, and Logan Thomas, who's a fun little story, but lacks the athleticism to make himself a weapon or any kind of a threat after the reception. So you say all that to say no one's elevating his play, and the bar is set very low because of that. He's not going to look good. He's not going to throw for 300 yards, which, by the way, he's never done. He's never thrown for 270 at this point. But he doesn't help himself. You know, he runs into breakdowns in protection and into pressures. He misses wide open throws on third and two when guys 5 yards from the line of scrimmage are wide open. So it just hasn't been very good. They're hoping this year, because it has been unfair to him. Last year, the coaching staff didn't want him. This year, he had this odd pandemic offseason, that he can make strides. But through two games, he looks a lot like the guy he was last year.
We're talking with Grant Paulson from The Fan in D.C., the Grant and Danny Show. Grant, you know, I'm curious. Antonio Gibson is an interesting guy, right? I know week one they gave Peyton Barber, but I don't get this Peyton Barber fascination. The Bucs used to run him all the time. Washington did in week one. I know they finally – maybe they smartened up after week one because this guy can't play. I don't know why he keeps getting opportunities. At least Gibson's got some upside. I mean, J.D. McKissic, come on. Can we see this Antonio Gibson play? As he seems like the only guy in their backfield's got any upside whatsoever. Am I wrong?
No, you're right, Bull. And they're coming around to you a little bit here. It took, you know, a few weeks to camp, it seemed like. First of all, the Peyton Barber thing is fascinating. There are just certain guys that it seems like universally throughout football coaching staffs like. They just decide that this is what it's supposed to look like. But he was worst in the NFL in yards per carry last year. They brought him in, and then he led the team in carries in week one. His role is going to be short yardage and goal line. So he had one play. That's it, one snap. It was an and one where he came in and got the 1 yard and then went off the field in week two. I think it'll be something comparable this week. It's Gibson and McKissic. They love McKissic because he's good in pass pro, and it's hard to trust a rookie, as you guys know, in the first two, three weeks to pick up blitzes and people coming off the edges. McKissick's good at that. He's also a very good pass catcher, as he showed a little bit in Seattle and in Detroit. So he will play. They'll have both of those guys flanking each side of Dwayne Haskins in the backfield at a time. But it's crazy. That was supposed to be this offense. Scott Turner comes from Carolina, where Christian McCaffrey averages a dozen targets a week. And these two guys have five catches for 6 yards through three games combined. It's insane.
Bizarre.
Gibson's legit. He can play. He's got some speed. He's got some wiggle. I posted a video on my Twitter watching the game last night where he made two moves. He made three guys miss. He got the loudest 9 yards you'll ever see. But so far, it's almost like people are trying to just will him into existence. Like, they're talking about him as if he's Barry Sanders. And if you look at his line, he's just another running back in the league right now. The talent's there, and they're just so starved for any kind of a weapon, as I said, other than McLaurin on offense here, that they look at him and they go, oh, this could be it. This is the guy in the third round. He'll lead them in carries this week. They're hoping he breaks out. But you're going to see McKissic in the passing game as well.
Let's talk about this defense, specifically the defensive line. They're getting a lot of hype. Is the hype worth it, or are we just hyping up Chase Young?
No, Dustin, this D-line is good. I mean, as you've heard, I'm pretty cynical about their offense and I think realistic about their offense. But they have built this defensive front at a championship level. It's funny. I kind of view position groups as records, right? And I feel like they've got like a 12-4 defensive front. Now, they've got a 5-11 just about everything else, maybe a 3-13 offensive line and some other areas. But they have five first-round picks up front, including Chase Young, who they just took number two overall out of Ohio State, who through 2 weeks is tied with T.J. Watt for the NFL lead with 2.5 sacks. And that doesn't even begin to describe how impactful and impressive he's been. He's one of those guys. I think Myles Garrett is kind of comparable to this, as just a world eater who he doesn't have to do anything on a play. If you're just watching him, you go, whoa, you know, look at 95. Chase Young, who's going to wear 99 this weekend, is the exact same way and built kind of that big, physical, just imposing player who can make plays in both phases, run and pass. But Montez Sweat was a first-round pick last year. They traded up out of the second round after they got Haskins to go get. He broke out in the second half and has been really impressive for a couple of weeks. They drafted back-to-back Alabama defensive tackles in Jonathan Allen at 17 and Deron Payne at 13 a couple years ago. Both of those dudes can play. And a non-first-round pick named Matt Ioannidis might be their most complete interior defensive lineman. You know, he's the kind of guy who's put up Pro Bowl-type pass rushing numbers, flirted with 10 sacks if he could stay healthy over the last couple of years. You will hear his name several times this week, and he's a really, really good player. Ryan Kerrigan is still here, who's made several Pro Bowls and just became the franchise's all-time leading sack artist. He had 2 sacks in week one. He's only getting about 20 snaps. I mean, the dude can still play, he can still help, and there's just not a lot of room for him because of all these young, talented rushers. So they're good. They will challenge Cleveland. I think this is the best offensive line they've faced. I'm really impressed by the Browns' front that they've built over the last offseason. But I'll tell you, they're going to get a test, too, because Washington's defensive group is 8 deep. They don't really wear down like the Bengals did. And I think it's going to be a really, really fun matchup.
I agree with you. I mean, that's Washington's only hope, really, right? I mean, that they can get to Baker against what, I mean, especially against the Bengals. The Browns' offensive line was tremendous, and that was without Conklin, who didn't play last week. He was active but didn't play, and he's going to be back this week. So they're going to be all hands on deck on the offensive line because, I don't know, you just said it, Graham. You said the rest of the team's a bunch of 5 and 11 units. To me, you know, the only way is Washington just beating up Baker somehow. If that doesn't happen, the Browns should win this game comfortably, I would think. I mean, I'm never comfortable saying – I can't believe I'm actually saying that about the Browns, but they're at home. They're the more talented team. They should win, I think.
No, you're 100% right. Look at Washington so far through two games, guys. I mean, in week one, they got a win, and it looks like it was a decided win over the Eagles by 10 points. They were down 17-0. Week two, they were down 20-0 and 27-3. This team is not particularly good. They know that. Ron Rivera didn't burn timeouts at the end of week two because he didn't want to get anybody hurt. I mean, he kicked the field goal instead of going for a touchdown, basically, because he didn't want to be shut out. He's well aware of what his group is on offense. But the other side of the ball on defense, they feel like they got a chance to be okay. Now, they lack players on the secondary in the defensive end. They spent $10 million this year, APY, on Kendall Fuller, who hadn't played yet. I think he'll make his debut. He's going to play a lot in the nickel inside, play some corner for them, who's coming back from Kansas City, who they once drafted. And then they got Landon Collins, a former All-Pro at safety. But you're 100% right, Bull. It's basically this simple. Against the Eagles, they had 8 sacks, they forced 3 interceptions, and they kind of barely won the football game.
Yeah.
And Carson Wentz was on his back the entire day. That's literally what it has to take. If you're going to tell me they're going to win 5 games, then I would tell you in those 5 games, they just willed the team to a win by way of dominating with pass rush.
Hey, what's the story with Alex Smith?
He's still grinding, trying to get back. I mean, he really wants to play. He's practicing. He's running the scout team.
Okay.
I first will just say that what he's done is amazing. I was on record as most people who are around this team in any capacity saying he'd never play again. He had like over a dozen procedures. I don't know if you guys saw. Did you guys see the ESPN special on him?
Oh, yeah.
His leg, fellas, it looked like he got eaten by a shark. And, I mean, the people haven't seen the picture, I would tell them not to look it up. But basically, it was like completely gone other than the very bottom of his cast and had to be grafted and basically rebuilt with skin from the rest of his body and other muscle and stuff. It was just a gross situation, and he almost not only lost his leg, but for a little while they were worried he might lose his life. He stunned everybody by saying he wanted to keep playing football because he went to a facility in San Antonio where they help out military members who deal with explosions where they lose limbs. And he was inspired by these folks. So he basically said, you know what? It's important to me. I'm going to do this. And he practiced in training camp. He got to a point where they cleared him for 11 on 11s. As I said, he's now running scout teams. He's their third quarterback. They traded for Kyle Allen, who started for Carolina last year under Ron Rivera, who's their head coach in his first year now. But he wants to play. I would bet against seeing him with Washington or ever again for that matter. But I've already lost a bunch of bets on Alex Smith. The guy is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Grant, last thing and most important question. Dustin, at least 42 times this week, has said the inappropriate name of your former football team. As someone has to talk about them every day, do you screw it up or are you good now?
I'm pretty good at it now, but I told Dustin this. So we have a little running tally on our show.
Yeah.
My co-host Danny is at 6, and I'm at 2.
Oh,
but here's
nice.
The difference.
Yeah.
Danny just pushes through. Like, he doesn't try to stop himself if he gets caught up.
Right.
I will stop myself,
yeah.
But then whatever point I'm making sounds ridiculous. So if you're hearing me on the radio for the first time, you think, well, this guy can't speak. Like, he's incompetent of speaking and thinking at the same time. Because I'm trying not to say the word.
Right.
So now whatever else I was doing, I'm irrelevantly incompetent at. So I'm doing okay at it, but it has certainly made our show worse and made me as someone who gets paid to speak for a living worse at what I do.
I got a feeling you'll get over that hump. You'll be all right.
What's the over under on the broadcast tomorrow for Spielman saying Redskins?
And Kugler, too, because we had Kevin on.
Oh, yeah.
I was calling play-by-play with him. I heard Spielman drop it on your show, I think, 2 times in one segment.
Yes.
I'm going to say 4.5 for those guys because you just drop in for a week. Like, how do you possibly – you drop in for 1 week. How do you get that right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to make it to 7 o'clock today without saying it. I mean, I'm just trying to make it. I'm fighting the fight. Grant, great stuff, man. Keep up the good work. Thanks for joining us.
I hope you guys don't have to learn the hard way by doing the same thing with the Indians with the dollar jar in a couple years.
It may happen. It very well may happen, Grant. We appreciate it, man. Thanks.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.